Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. Another day that the Lord has made. We were downstairs praying for pre-service prayer, and it came up that we're not just here, just a few of us. Doesn't matter how many we see here in the natural. The Bible says that we have come to Mount Zion, the mountain of the Lord. And there are innumerable, that means you can't count, hosts of angels. And they're worshiping, they're singing, they're praising the Lord. Now, we can't see them in the natural, but family, we're there right now with them. And so I want to encourage all of us to set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things of the earth, not what's been going on in politics or with the gas prices or Ukraine or any of that right now. Let's just set our mind on things above and remember that we're seated in heavenly places, that even though we're here in this natural realm, seemingly by ourselves in a small group, we're actually with the host of angels. We're actually in the presence of God. So, Lord, right now, we just choose to focus on the fact that we're in your presence. And it says, Lord, that in your presence is fullness of joy. So, Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to experience joy as we worship you today, as we lift your name, as we declare that you're our King and you're our God. We just thank you, Lord, that you're here right now and we're with you right now. And we just ask, Lord, that you would have your way, have your will, let your plans and your purposes be fulfilled in this service. Touch every heart, touch every life, Lord, that listens to this and watches this online. Lord, touch those, Lord, that are feeling distant from you. Draw them near to yourself. Help them, Lord, to experience, Lord, your goodness. Lord, we just thank you, God, that we are your children. You have called us by name. You have made us yours. And we are part of the family of God. Amen. Let's stand and worship.
You were. Let me be a vessel. doubt anybody who needs a healing in this place. I know Vicky's watching online, and Hope is watching online. So if you need a healing in your body right now, just begin to receive a touch from God right now. There's no sickness, big or too small, for our Father to heal. This is what He paid for. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, that you are in the healing business. Thank you, Jesus. Sickness, you have no place here. Arthritis, you have no place here. Cancer, you have no place here. And just stand in the gap right now for the many people I've heard about recently dealing with cancer. Say cancer, you have to bow in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. This is the heart of worship. This is the place of
miracles. believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're all things for good.
I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
I still believe
you're moving. I still believe you're speaking. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Hey.
I fix my eyes on heaven. God, I receive your vision. God, I believe you're working all things for good.
Come alive
in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles, and we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Come alive.
Do we sing, come alive in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles. And we bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Hey! Now give the Lord a shout of praise today. We thank you, God, that you are a healer.
Come alive in the name of Jesus.
demons come alive in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
Yes, right here at One Life.
We bring everything to the feet of Jesus. Everything in the name of Jesus. This is a house of miracles.
This is an invitation right now for God to touch you right now. If that's you, just come to the altar right now and receive a touch from heaven. Maybe it's a healing in your body. Maybe if you've had a hard week, a hard month, a hard year, and Jesus just wants to minister right now to the hearts of his sons and daughters.
Holy, thank you, Father.
If you want to touch my heart, here's your invitation. If you want to have my life, then come and take it. If you want to hear my heart,
I will build my life upon your love.
Thank you, Lord, for your invitation to us today. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us, Lord, that we can surrender and yield our lives, our hearts to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And our failures, our strengths and our successes. Just turn it all over to you, Lord. We would not be anything without you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Have our hearts, Lord. Have our lives. We surrender to you. We surrender to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't you take a few minutes and greet each other?
Check, check. All right. Good morning, church. We are going to do our declarations for the city of Yakima, because we are believing amazing things for our city. So let's just get into it. Let's go to the first slide. So why don't we stand? We're gonna make this declaration over the city of Yakima, that's just not the city limits, that's, you know, the lower valley and everything, everywhere above and below and all that. So let's say this together. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, give it up. We thank you, Lord, for Yakima. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. God, I thank you, Lord, that revival is happening here. Lord, that is not just a far-out idea or a lofty thought, God, but it's actually something that you are doing in this place. And you're utilizing and using our house to facilitate that as well. God, I thank you for the churches in our city. God, I thank you for the tent revival that's happening at Breakthrough. I thank you, Lord, for every church that's gathering this Sunday morning. And God, I just thank you so much, Lord, that you love us. You love our city. You have not forgotten us. You have not just thrown us to the wayside, but you are blessing Yakima. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So this is the last time we're going to talk. Oh, wait, no, one more Sunday. We're going to talk about it. We're going to keep doing church at 10:30. From now to until eternity, until Jesus comes back. And then summer worship nights. Yeah, so the last Saturday, that's a Saturday, right? Saturday of the month, July 30th, we are doing our backyard worship night. And this one's at the Villalobos, right? That's your guys' address? So Villalobos House. And so it's a great time to come and worship together as a body. And again, this is, I always say this because this is a great opportunity to invite friends, to invite family, especially those who maybe don't have a Sunday home to go to. This would be a great, I think, a less intimidating way to introduce them. Like, hey, come meet some of my church family. And then next. Okay, before I say that, we don't have a slide for this, but we are trying to improve our communications. So we are in the near future, in the months to come, you might get a text from a number that you don't have saved. And what that is we're mass texting. We have a new program right now that's going to allow us to mass text. So Pastor Mike literally doesn't have to send 10 different group chats, which is what he's doing right now. So that being said, you'll know, it'll say this is One Life Family Worship. And so if you just could save that number as One Life Family Worship or whatever you want to, church or whatever you want to call it, that way you don't miss anything. We'll just use that for church announcements, you know, things like the worship night, barbecues, if something changes with service and so forth. And so just if you see that, just be expecting that. It'll come up as a different number. And that's it for that. And so thank you for giving OneLifeFamilyWorship.com. You can give there as well as the boxes here and in the back. And we love you guys. Thank you for giving to our house. Is that it? Okay. Pastor Mike and Gaylene, do you guys want to come up to the seat so I'm not standing up here just awkward? Yeah.
Okay. Everyone doing good today?
Yes.
Good. What's that?
Not working.
Not working. That's fantastic, right? Praise the Lord. So we've been talking about the will of God, right?
Right.
Over the last couple of weeks. And we are going to continue for a couple more Sundays on the will of God. And as I was thinking about this Sunday and the message that I wanted to share, I was really thinking about submitting to the will of God. And then as I thought about submitting to the will of God, I thought about resisting the will of God. Because if you're not submitting, you can be resisting the will of God for your life. And so we're going to look at two different scenarios. Someone that is fully submitting to the will of God, and then a group that, for whatever reason, they resisted the will of God for their life, the plan of God for their life. But we're going to start with our key verse. And this is from 1 Chronicles 28, verses 18 and 19. And as Gay shared last week, all of this chapter is really powerful and amazing because it describes how the temple was to be designed and built and laid out, and all of the utensils, everything in it, and how it was like down to the minute detail, mm-hmm. how the worshipers were to worship the Lord. And then David shares at the very end with Solomon this.
18, he designated the amount of refined gold for the altar of incense. Finally, he gave him a plan for the Lord's chariot, the gold cherubim, whose wings were stretched out over the ark of the Lord's covenant. Every part of this plan, David told Solomon, was given to me in writing from the hand of the Lord.
I know we read this and think, well, this is the Old Testament, and this is, a very special case. David's getting, instructions from God of how this temple is going to be built, and that it's specifically for that time. But my heart says that if David, who was before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he was old covenant, he's in the Old Testament, so it was before Jesus fulfilled the great work that separated the Old Testament and the New Testament. And we have a better covenant. Do you guys know that? We have a better covenant. If David could be told how he's supposed to build this temple, then surely God can teach us and lead us and show us how we're to build our lives. Build my life. I mean, I love that. Did you plan that? Holy Spirit did, right? I mean,
And what was really powerful, we were talking about this at the house, is if he took so much care with the building, which I realized that it housed the covenant and it housed the ark of the Lord, but how much more intricate did he create you and me to worship him? How much more thought did he put into us, the ones that he made to worship? Because that's what he made us for, was to worship him. He didn't make us for any other thing. all of the other stuff, all of the bells and whistles that go along with church life and or with serving him and or with saying yes to his destiny for our lives. He built us to worship him. And how much more intricately woven is our own life and our own heart that he made for him.
So this tells me that we can know the will of God for our life.
Yeah.
Romans 12 is another verse that we're focusing on.
Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
I love that. What God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And we talked about how necessary renewing the mind is. That I believe that without renewing our mind, that we're going to struggle knowing the will of God. We're going to struggle being able to say, I want you to build my life. We're going to struggle actually even pressing into the Lord if we're not renewing our mind, because being captivated by the world, being captivated by its attractions and the distractions from the things of God can overwhelm our spiritual life. You know, as you said last week, which dog are you going to feed? Your spiritual dog, your spiritual life, or your fleshly one? Yep. For those of you that don't know that story, this is the second we've mentioned it. There was a guy who took his two dogs to a circus area, a fair, and they would have a weekly fight between the two dogs, and everybody would bet on who
was
going to win. And the thing is 1 week one dog would win, 1 week another dog would win, and you know they were different colors, so you could distinguish them. And so, you know, the people were like always betting, and some people would win some week and some people would lose. But the guy who brought the dogs always won. So finally, after a while, someone came up to him and said, how do you know who's going to win? He said, well, it's always easy because it's the dog that I feed that week. The dog that doesn't get fed loses. So if you think about it, if we're feeding our spiritual dog, it's kind of a grass way to say it, but our spiritual life, we're going to win. If we're feeding our fleshly life, guess who's going to win? The fleshly life.
Right.
And I don't think we have to place a bet. Which person, which part of us we feed is going to grow and become better. So let's go ahead and look at one of my favorite submit verses. How many have had like issues with the word submit? I know that there is actually women who during wedding ceremonies refused to say I submit, and because there was very little mutual submission in some of the older wedding ceremonies. Mm-hmm. It was about just the woman submitting to the man, whatever he does, whatever he says. And we know that the Bible says before that verse that we're to submit one to another, that we're to be giving ourselves one to another. But the idea is that submission is kind of like become like a dirty word. That it's like, oh, if I submit, then you know I'm surrendering all of my ability to control things, freedom. All my freedom, exactly. Well, let me give you a good verse that says why we want to do this with God.
Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
So, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Anybody ever quoted that before? Just resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you're forgetting a key part. You need to submit to God first. Mm-hmm. Submit to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then what can you do? You can resist the devil and he'll flee. Why? Because you're not in your own strength anymore. Mm-hmm. See, the beauty of it, when we submit to God, ourselves, everything that we are, we're building our lives upon him, upon who he is, his throne, his glory, his power, his majesty, the Holy Spirit. Then what he does in return, he fills us to the fullness of him. And when we're full of him, then guess what? The devil does not have power over our lives. We can resist him, and we're not just resisting him and saying, okay, well, you know, I'm going to at least, you know, keep him from bugging me. No, he has to flee. He has to flee from you when we submit to God. But it's not a one-time deal. Pastor, I've come to the altar before, and I, you know, I I put all my baggage down. Yeah, you know, and well, did you, have you taken any of it back up during, have you been doing your own? And a lot of times they say yes. Well, that's why the enemy has room in your life. That's not to say that submitting to God means that all our problems go away. How many know that doesn't happen? But guess what? They are in a different category because they're no longer just the devil beating us up. Now they're persecutions and trials and tribulations. And guess what? We grow from those when we're in God. God uses what the enemy's meaning for evil against us for his good, to accomplish something good in us. You have something?
Can you hand me your water thing down there? I just want to do an illustration.
Right here?
I heard something yesterday, and it was very simplistic, but it was really good because it just made sense. If I were to pick this up, this is a heavy Yeti. It's his Yeti, and it has something in it.
Yeah, it's my coffee. Mud. His mud, yeah.
It has his drink in it. And if I were to sit here and hold this right now, it's not too awfully heavy, even though it's a heavier type of a vessel. But if I sat here all day holding this, it would get heavier and heavier. And pretty soon, I mean, you know, after holding it, it would get so heavy that I wouldn't be able to continue to hold it up. I'd have to put it down. That's how our problems are in our lives. Submitting to God, mm-hmm. resisting the devil, and he'll flee from you. And what you're saying about, you know, giving it to the Lord and not taking it back.
Right.
If we set it down, whatever it is, whatever problem we're having, or whatever sin that so easily besets us, or whatever it is that is hard for us, if we will set it down, give it to God, and not pick it back up, I'm free. I don't have anything in my hand to even wonder,
that's
is it going to get heavy or not.
Right.
But it's when I pick it back up again.
And hold it again.
We are just a creature of oxymorons, aren't we? Like, we don't want it to get so heavy that we drop it, and we don't. We're so crazy like that. But if we will just set it down and leave it and not pick it back up, say, Lord, I give this to you. It's probably no biggie for you, but it's a biggie for me, but I know you will take care of it the best way, and not pick it back up again, then there's true freedom.
That's good. It's really good. So submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Psalm 47:8. This is the first real scripture that we're going to focus on, the key individual that submitted himself 100% to God. I think you all know who it is.
David.
No, David. Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. In Psalms, it's talking about him.
This is David prophetically speaking.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is David speaking.
It is David speaking, but he's speaking prophetically as he would be as the Lord. But that's okay.
We're good. I said, look, I have come as is written about me in the scriptures. I take joy in doing your will, my God, for your instructions are written on my heart. Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8.
I take joy in doing your will. And then Hebrews 10:5 is the New Testament version of that.
5 and 6 and 7. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.
And that's the scroll of the book that's being quoted there. What this is Jesus, well, first of all, it's David, speaking as in a messianic psalm. And what messianic means, it's about Messiah. It's about Christ. Psalm 22 is very much like that. You see David saying a psalm that sounds like he's talking, and then all of a sudden he's saying, they've pierced my hands and feet. Well, David's hands and feet were never pierced. They were never casting lots for his clothing, as it says in Psalm 22. He then takes on the personification of the Lord through some kind of prophetic vision or inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know that David was very inspired by hearing from the Lord. So this is what's happening in Psalm 40. In Hebrews 10:5-7, we believe Paul wrote this. He's saying, consequently, when Christ came into the world, Christ meaning the Christ spirit came into Jesus, the body, vessel. Gay asked me about that. What body? And I said, well, Jesus had a body prepared for him. And the Christ, which is a very complicated subject, the Son of God came and inhabited that body. And that body came for one purpose. That Christ came for one purpose. And what was that? To give his life for all. Right. And so it says that right here that sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In other words, for, I don't know, probably 1,200, 1,300, maybe, I'm not sure the exact time frame, 1,000 at least years since Abraham, we know, was probably sacrificing animals. Isaac was doing it, Jacob, and then the sacrifices that came along with all of the years of the sacrifices of the Israelites as first of all their people in the desert and then in the promised land and then building the temple. All of those years and sacrifices that they gave to God as a process of worship, he didn't really desire those, which is crazy, isn't it? I mean, for all those years they did it, but that was not what moved him. What moved him was a surrendered life. Do you hear that, guys? It's not about how much you come to church. Not about how much you read your Bible. It's not about how much you pray or how much you listen to worship music or any of the quote-unquote things, air quotes, that you say makes you a Christian. No, do you live a surrendered life? That's what he desires. Do you in your heart say, I will build my life upon your love. In other words, are you going to let him build your life? Not you build a life. Yeah, not you build a life. Him build a life. And the only way that happens is when you give him your life. When you give him your life, he builds your life. When you give him your ways, he gives you his ways. And they're not, it's not a heavy yoke. He says, my yoke is easy. Now, last time I checked, easy is what? Easy. It's not difficult. It's not hard. But some people say, oh, pastor, you just don't know how hard this Christian walk is. Well, you've got the wrong yoke. The yoke's on you. Sorry. You've got the wrong yoke. Because if you have his yoke on you, his burden is easy and his burden's light. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why is it that if I put his yoke on me, that it's going to be easy? And I've seen other Christians' lives who things are happening just as bad as happening in mine. It's because it's not you that's carrying all the load yourself. Like you said, you're not holding this anymore. It may right. be up in the air, but God's got his hand under it.
Right.
You may be going through the trial of having to hold it up, but you're not holding it up yourself because
right.
you've built your life on him.
Can I just read this one scripture in the New Living
Absolutely.
Translation? I think it really
clarifies
says it and clarifies it. Verse 5, Hebrews 10:5. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. We know that because 33 years later, that's what happened, right?
Yep.
You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as is written about me in the scriptures. So that's what he's just saying. He's just saying burnt offerings aren't going to work anymore. This is a once and for all. This is the culmination of mankind, this is the culmination of all of the things that have come down through time, and I'm going to take care of it. That's what Jesus says. I've got you covered.
Right.
You don't have to worry and strive to live this life that can be so burdensome sometimes. You don't have to strive to do it anymore. I've got it. Just lean into me. Don't lean into what you know or what you think is going to work. Just lean into me and let's do this and let me guide you and lead you.
Amen. That's so good. Yeah, that is a great translation. That helped kind of explain a little bit. I was trying to do a job on it, but the thing is that we have to realize that Jesus, how many know when Jesus was crucified? Well, it's 2022, so it was 2022 years ago or something like that, right? Within 20, 30 years. Well, that's when the physical sacrifice happened. But how many know that in the heart of God, in the mind of God, Jesus was slain before the foundations of the earth? God knew, Christ knew that he would be giving his life. And so that was the manifestation. So this could be a conversation that's in heaven between the Father and the Son. The Father says, Son, I need you to, and the Son goes, no, I know what you need, and I'm willing to do it. I'm surrendering. I'm yielding to it. Now, let's read about how Jesus, when he was in the physical realm, how he handled surrendering to the will of God when it really looked bad. This is going to be Mark 14, 32 through 39.
It's 37, 38, and 39 are not on there.
Oh.
Not on the script.
Oh, yes. No, I cut those out. That's right.
Okay.
36.
Okay.
Verse 32 to 36. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will.
So Eric was sharing about courage on Friday night at the men's barbecue at Alex's house. And he brought up this passage and how Jesus had to face this very difficult moment. It says in another place that he was sweating, like sweating drops of blood. That he was, as he said earlier in this part, that he was feeling almost to the point of death. The weight was so heavy on him. And I know we can read, you know, Hebrews 10, 5 and 7, like, oh, Jesus says he's going to yield. But he still had to walk it out. The anxiety, some people could even phrase what sounds like there's some kind of like fear of going to the cross. But he surrenders to the will of God. Why? Because for the joy, in Hebrews 12, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God now. See, he looked beyond the moment and he was saying, Lord, Father, not my will, but your will be done. It means he had to look beyond that moment. And I'm telling you, part of doing the will of God is not looking at the moment. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at the moment, a lot of times the moment will totally overwhelm you.
Yeah.
But if you look at the promises of God, because he knew he was going to be resurrected, but he still knew he had to go through the cross. But he looked at the joy that was set before him. And I've said it many times, but it's you and I, the children of God, being restored back to the place with relationship with the Father, no longer alienated and separated and lost, but restored back to relationship. Mm-hmm. So he looked at that. He despised that shame. He didn't look just at the moment. I don't think Jesus kept his eyes on the moment, because I think it would have overwhelmed him. He had to look
beyond,
as it says in Hebrews 12. He had to, for the joy that was set before him, way before him.
Right.
He despised the shame, and he decided to walk through the crucifixion. And I'm thankful he did. Everybody thankful Jesus walked through the crucifixion? Could he have chosen another way? Well, I mean, obviously, well, we say no. But he had a free will.
Just like we do.
But he chose to let that free will be God's will.
Right.
All of us have a free will. God is not one to sit there and twist our arms and make us do things. I mean, some of us would maybe do better as Christians if he was spanking us all the time and turning our head away from things and but he gives us a free will. He lets us take on upon ourselves whatever we want. And he's done that. We're free will agents, everyone. So it's our free will to give to him. See, we can follow his will by saying, this is my free will, but I give it to you. Not my will, not my free will, God, your will. And this is a key. This is a key to successful Christian living.
It just reminds me of when I was in labor with Tim. And labor started at 7 in the morning, and he was not delivered until after 11 o'clock at night. So it's like 16 plus hours. And I remember at one point, and I may have said it to you, but I don't remember if I did or not. And I said, you know, I'm done with this.
Yeah, let's just go home. Yeah.
Let's go home and let's start again tomorrow, because I can't do this. I cannot keep laboring. I can't. And did I say that to you?
I think you did.
I said, I'm done. And then as I'm thinking, I'm, you know, all hooked up and, it, you know, labor is in full swing. And I realized I can't go home. Now, I did not have it in me to look beyond that point for the joy that was set before me of holding that baby in my arms. I did not have it in me physically to do that. But had I thought to myself, you know, this baby is eventually going to come out. And if I can just keep this thought in my mind, I'm going to be holding my baby at the end of this. It may have made labor a little bit easier. I doubt it, but it may have. It may have made it easier. A lot of times I think that what we have to do is recognize that the laboring and the delivery of what God has for us sometimes can be overwhelming. Sometimes it can be beyond who we are. However, if we will call on the name of the Lord, he is so faithful. He's right there to show up. He is right there to give us the strength to push through, push that baby out, push through, so that at the end we gain the prize of knowing, my Abba saw me through that. Like Jesus just was right there for me. And we have, what do we have then? We have a testimony. Because we pushed through. God does not want us to be in all of this laboring hard stuff in this world without him. He did not make us to do this by ourselves. But how often do we? How often do is calling on his name the last thing we think of instead of the first thing we think of?
Yeah.
Because we're so capable, aren't we, as people, as humans? We think that we're so capable that we don't, you know, oh, Jesus, this is something not so big for you, and, you know, I can handle this. But can you? Like, should you? Like, what if you called on his name and he came to rescue, and because you did, something came towards you that you would never have seen, you would never have been able to minister in had you been all up in yourself trying to figure this out. I remember we were talking this week. We do a Zoom meeting with Eric and Nancy for a staff meeting every week, and I was a little, I was a little bit touchy. I was a little bit cranky. I get cranky. Yes, Tara, I do. I was cranky. And they said something about the agenda for our sabbatical. And I'm like, if we're going to have an agenda for a sabbatical, why even have a sabbatical? I don't want an agenda. I don't want to be checking off things that, you know, I want to hear about God from this. I want to make sure that I'm getting my, I don't want an agenda. I want to be able to just lay back on my bed if I want to and just look at the ceiling and say, I really would look forward to that. But because we so love Jesus and we so love people around us, every time we have gone on a break, we have taken a couple days and gone to a hotel just to regroup, revamp, revitalize, whatever you want to call it, we always end up ministering to someone in the hotel, at the restaurant, at a grocery store, somewhere we see something that had we not been there, had we not been asking the Lord, you know, go with us, we never would have seen otherwise. You guys, we can no longer do this with our will. We have to do His will. And I will tell you this right now, honestly, you will not be happy doing your will. You think you will, but you won't. You will only be happy doing His will. You will only be completely satisfied doing His will.
Amen. That's good. So let's look at a couple of cases of people that were resisting. This particular scripture says resisting the Holy Spirit. And it, believe it or not, it was the Pharisees. It was the religious leaders. It was the churchgoers. It was the people who were religious in those days. Now, this is at Stephen's stoning when he is sharing with the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, all of the truths that were from the Old Testament. And then he basically ends up saying at the end, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So did you. So do you." And so we have this communication from Stephen that he can see as these people are resisting him, because Stephen went there to these groups because he did miracles, because he was proclaiming Jesus, because he was saying the Lord Jesus healed these people. And they said, "Oh, we don't want to hear that. We crucified him. We don't want to hear any more of it." But they couldn't stop it because people were getting raised from the dead. People were being healed of sicknesses and diseases. The Holy Spirit was working through Stephen, and he ends up becoming martyred at the very end. He was the first martyr of the Christian church. If we go here to Luke 7:28-30.
"I tell you, no one ever born is greater than John, but even the least important person in God's kingdom is greater than John. When the people heard this, they all agreed that God's teaching was good. Even the tax collectors agreed. These were the people who were baptized by John, but the Pharisees and experts in the law refused to accept God's plan for themselves. They did not let John baptize them."
I think this is a key right here. The Pharisees and the leaders of the religious law, they did not let John baptize them. They said, "Oh, I don't need to be baptized by John." And they refused. They resisted. They said, "You know what? We don't need to repent of anything. We're religious leaders. We don't need to worry about what's in our closets because, you know, we're considered holy. We don't need to worry about the condition of our heart, that we may be far from God, even though our lips are drawing close to Him. We don't need to worry about that stuff. This guy is some kook out here anyway. He eats locusts and wild honey. Yeah, he's just crazy. So why would we go there?" But listen to what, because of that attitude, because of their resistance to the will of God for their lives, it says, "But the Pharisees and experts in the law refused to accept God's plan for themselves." It was not God's plan just for the Pharisees and Sadducees to be set on the side and not to hear the good news. God wanted them to, but they needed a repentant heart.
And they didn't have it.
They didn't have it. We know that some, towards the end of Christ's life, were believers, finally. But at this particular point, they were rejecting God's plan for themselves. Let us not resist God and miss the plan of God for our lives. He has a plan that when it's fulfilled, like you said, will bring us fulfillment, mm-hmm. will bring us joy, will bring us a satisfaction. You know, how many people do you know in this life that are saying, "Wow, life's just boring." I mean, you know, and they've got all kinds of stuff to take up their time. You know, they may have, you know, even thousands of followers on a social media, but they feel empty. They feel like there's really no reason to live. And some take their lives, some get involved in drugs, some do other things that just to try to pacify the emptiness and the hurt. You know what would fulfill that individual? Obviously receiving Christ, but following the will of God for their life. We are meant and designed to follow a certain plan. Herman, You know, as a matter, fully, that when you train trees to go the right way, it's the way that they're supposed to grow, not all crazy, not all over the place. You're helping them train what's best for them, right? But it takes training. We can't just let our lives just go haphazard and think that we're going to be, you know, a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water and our fruit never doesn't fail to sprout. You know, if we just think it's just going to just happen, we're fooling ourselves. We really are. The Christian walk takes discipline. The Christian walk takes sacrifice even. Now, not a sacrifice that we're doing so that we stay in the good graces of God, but a sacrifice of our will so that we're in His will and so that we're in Christ, remaining in Christ. Here's a prayer that I want us all to think about. This is Psalm 143. Again, this is David, King David. He really had some good stuff. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Teach me to do your will. You're saying, Pastor Mike, you're talking an awful lot about the will of God, but I have no clue how to accomplish it. You're talking about renewing your mind. I'm not really sure how to do that. You know, I mean, I've tried to read my Bible, but my mind's... Just start praying, Lord, teach me to do your will. Help me to do the right thing. Lead me in your way. Help me, Holy Spirit, lead me onto level ground, not all this craziness that's going on. Help root and ground me in the truth. You know, Jesus talked about the one who built his house on the sand and the floods came and it just blew over the house because it didn't have any foundation. Lord, help me have a good foundation so that when the floods come, the trials come, the difficulties come, I stand. Mm. Because I'm not standing in my own strength, I'm standing on the rock. Mm-hmm. And your rock, you are the rock. Amen? Amen. All right. Does anyone have anything else on their heart? Anyone? No one? Okay. All right. Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. And Father, we just ask right now, Lord, that you would teach us to do your will. Lord, you are our God and we are your people. You have called us by your name. We are your children. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead us, lead our feet, Lord, to be on level ground, a good foundation, a solid foundation. I pray for everyone hearing my voice right now, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, to be ones that follow the will of God for their life. That they would quit holding on to their own will and desires so tight, Lord, that there's no room for you, Lord, but they would release their desires and their will into your hands, realizing that you're going to give them back so much more. You're going to give them, Lord, what they need to be who you've truly called them to be. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that you're working in all of our lives, and we're grateful for that. But, Lord, we ask you to do more. Lord, we give you our hearts. We give you our lives, as the song said. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Have a great day. Amen.